All right, here we go.
Well, welcome to Greek Club at Concordia Seminary. We are broadcasting from the Center for Research into Global Cooling here in St. Louis, where we're having about the coolest summer that I can remember, and I lived here for 17 years. So we're very happy about this, and if you're in a hot place, well, we're sorry about that. I think it's supposed to get really hot next week, and I'm going out of town, so that's the way I'm planning it. So to that point, actually, I'm going to try to get a substitute for Greek Club next week. And if I don't get a substitute, then I guess it won't happen. So, yeah, Jay, do you want to do it, or Tim, or Matt, or Chris, or anybody can do. So we'll see what we can do. And I just sent out an email this morning beseeching, parakaleoing my colleagues who are all busy and getting tired as well. Okay, we're in Hebrews 7, and we're getting close to the halfway mark. I was counting pages before just a few minutes ago. All right, we are in, if I'm not mistaken, verse 18. And again, we're proving and arguing why Christ's high priestly office is superior to that of Aaron, since he's a priest, Psalm 110, verse 4, over and over, according to the order of Melchizedek. So verse 17 read as follows, more or less, "For it is being witnessed that, quote, you are a priest into the age or forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." And now we get a men de construction. And the men is there at the beginning of verse 18, and the corresponding de, which is interrupted by a parenthetical gar clause at the beginning of 19, is actually the ep eis agoge de kratena. So that's the other shoe dropping of the men de, if I could just kind of give us a little advance warning there. So why don't we do, maybe we'll do that whole sentence. We'll do verses 18 and 19 together. So it reads something like this: athetesis men gar genetai pros aguses enteles, dia ta autes asthenes kai anopheles, udengar eteleos en hanamas, ep eis agogeda kratenas elpidas, dihes engidzomen to theo. So, men, for on the one hand, athetesis means nullification or setting aside. You could maybe guess it's related to tithemi, right? For the setting aside, genetai, happens. Oh, and now we have a genitive that we have to figure out what to do with. Prosago means to go ahead of or be before. And it's a participle, which parses as present participle, active, feminine, singular, genitive. And enteles is the word for command. Now, you might think that this is a genitive absolute or something like this, right? Genitive participle, genitive noun, right? I know this because I just taught the genitive absolute to Professor Lewis's Greek elementary Greek class. But it would be hard to translate. You'd have to translate something like this: for nullification happens while the command goes ahead, or something like that. But believe it or not, the participle is probably just directly adjectival here in Hebrews 7:18. And it's modifying command. And that genitive modifier then is attached to athetesis at the beginning of the clause. So, for a nullification of the previous command happens. Okay? And why does it happen? Dia, ta, blah, blah, blah. Okay? So take that genitive, the two-word genitive construction, pros aguses enteles, as modifying athetesis, annulment or nullification or removal. It happens. Why? Dia, ta, autes, asthenes, kai, anopheles. Now, asthenes and anopheles are just two adjectives. The one means weak, and the other means useless. Okay? And you've got the article governing both. The weak and useless thing, autes, of it, feminine singular genitive, antecedent has to be what word earlier in the sentence? Feminine noun. It's got to be command, right. See, the command that went before was weak and useless because it could never finally get the job done. That's what the writer's about to say. Okay. And the command here probably isn't referring to the commandments of the law, like you can't keep the law, but it's referring to the command that instituted the Levitical priesthood. Why? As he'll say in a minute. Because you have to offer sacrifices over and over again. And priests die. They come and they go and blah, blah, blah. But you see, Christ is, as we had a couple of verses ago, he's the priesthood according to an indestructible life. See? It's a, again, I just keep saying this. I'm sorry. It's a very interesting argument. And it's to be honest, it's not the way Lutherans in our sort of semi-Marcionite moments might talk, as if the Old Testament is law and the New Testament is gospel. He's not arguing that at all. He's arguing salvation historically. And look, this old setup is weak and useless, right? And that's why you had the setting aside of the former command happens. Because of the weak and useless thing of it. That would be a wooden translation. And you might render it something like, its weak and useless character, or something like that. Now let's explain what we mean by that. 4, verse 19, subject is law, ha nomos, for the law perfected nothing. It brought to completion nothing. Or maybe, oh, it can't be no one because it's neuter, although it probably includes people in there. And again, the reason why it never reached its goal, it never teleaoed, is because you had to keep doing it, right? It was clearly, the writer to the Hebrews would say, clearly an anticipatory provision, and God had something better in mind. So let's take a running start up to that the episagogeda then. So. For, on the one hand, the setting aside of the former commandment happened because it was weak and useless, for the law completed nothing. On the other hand, the episagoge, the introduction, it's a nominative, that's a subject. Wait, there's no main verb. Supply came. Supply genitai from the prior clause, right? On the other hand, the introduction, kratonos elpidos, of a better hope. Remember that kraton is, oddly enough, the comparative of agathos, good. Agathos, yeah, right, Dim is going, but it doesn't have any letters in common. And well, it's like, really, think about it, good, better. There are no letters in common. Well, no, there are no letters in common, so. So don't blame it on the Greeks, even though it is a thinking person's language. Right? But the introduction of a better hope happens, de haes, on account of which, it's a relative pronoun, see the rough breathing, we draw near, excuse me, not on account of which, but through which we draw near to God. See, on the one hand, this Hebrews is all about men de, right? Old and new, weak, passing away, full and complete. All right. Okay, questions about verses 18 and 19? Anything? All right, very good. Verse 20. Now let me point out this initial phrase here. Literally, you'd hussos is a kind of a pronoun, and it translates as much as, or as many as. So woodenly, you'd say, and according to as much as. Okay. Now, what you actually have to do, and what you have to do is look this up, of course, which is what I did. You have to look down four lines to verse 22. See kata tas uto, right? Well, the two go together. It's insofar as, so also. So those two items go together. Okay. Without that, you're kind of lost. The train of thought doesn't actually go anywhere. Okay, so we're about to hit some fairly hard slogging, but I wanted to. So, The lexicon actually suggested, insofar as this, just so, also that. Right? So it's kind of like a big mende is what it is, right? See? Okay, so let's do verse 20. Kai kath hazan u choris horkomazias, hoi men gar choris horkomazias, asin hieres geganates. We'll stop there. So, and insofar as, insofar as it is not apart from an oath. See, literally, there's not enough words. And insofar as not apart from oath. So you just have to supply it is, namely, the better hope that we just mentioned. Okay? And insofar as it is not apart from an oath, so also, verse 22. All right, so keep that in your brain if you can. So it's not apart from an oath. Now let's explain what that means. Hoi men gar. For, and what we've got going on is hoi men, and then in verse 21, ha da. See it? So again, Hebrews is the writing of men da, right? It's this, but not just this, also that, even more this, so also that, so forth. For, on the one hand, they, so you translate the hoi in a hoi men ha da, just they, for on the one hand, they, apart from an oath, asin hieres geganates. You take the geganates is the perfect participle of ginomai, right? Take it with asin as part of a periphrastic construction, right? They are have beening, all right? Or they have become what? Priests. So they, on the one hand, have become priests apart from an oath. Do you see how inferior the Aaronic priesthood is? They got to be priests apart from an oath. Verse 21, but not so with Christ, because guess what we're about to quote again? Psalm 110, verse 4. Okay? So let's pick up verse 21, and then we'll go back and kind of clean up the whole thing again. Again, this is very interesting, but it's not... This is difficult going. So verse 21. Ha de meta horkomazias dia tu legantes prasautan. Omosen kyrios kai u metamalethesetai su hieres eston iona. So verse 21. But he, so hoimen ha de, they, he, with an oath, through the one who says to him, the Lord swore, Omasen, it's from Omnimi, the Lord swore, and this is from metamelomai, which is a deponent verb, and it means to repent or change your mind. Okay, in that sense, it's close to metanoeo. It's very close in meaning. The Lord swore, and he will not change his mind. Again, it's deponent. So it parses. You can see the theta, eta, sigma. Theta, eta, sigma. It looks like a future indicative passive, and that's what it is in form. But it would translate as an active voice because it's passive deponent. Okay? The Lord swore, and he will not change his mind. You, a priest, into the age. You are a priest forever. Okay? So let's go back and do 20 and 21 together. And insofar as this is the case, it, that is the better hope of verse 19, did not come about apart from an oath. For, on the one hand, they have become priests apart from an oath. The Levitical priesthood of Aaron, right? On the other hand, he, with an oath, supply, became a priest through the one who says to him, the Lord swore, and he will not change his mind. You are a priest forever. Make sense? perfectly obvious? No. It's the most complex Greek. Hebrews is the most complex Greek, as we've said, in the New Testament. It's not the most irregular, but it's the most complex. So insofar as that is the case, and now we're ready for verse 22, which we'll just pick up right now. Katatas uta kai kretanas diathekes gegenen engios Iesus. Now, wouldn't you think that God would inspire the writer to put the subject first? No, God didn't inspire the writer to do this. The subject of this clause is Jesus. It's the Sunday school answer, right? So just as insofar as that other thing, so even more, so also Jesus gegonen. There's the verb, perfect, indicative, active, third singular with a movable nu of ginomai. Jesus has become the engios. It means guarantor. Okay? Surety or something like that. He has become the guarantor of something. Kratanos, there's Tim's favorite word. He snickered at it last time. There it is again. Diathekes. Of a better covenant. So we're going to back up into 20 through 22 again, because it's kind of one thought. It's a two-part thought with a two-part contrast in the middle of it and one explanatory clause. So again, Greek is a thinking person's language. And insofar as it is not, well, here's the basic thought. And insofar as it is not apart from an oath, by even so much more also Jesus has become the guarantor of a better covenant. That's the thought. So we'll do the whole thing. And insofar as it is not apart from an oath, for, on the one hand, they have become priests apart from an oath, but he, with an oath, through the one who says to him, the Lord swore and will not change his mind, you are a priest forever. Just so also, even more, Jesus has become the guarantor of a better covenant. Okay? You know, you can always preach on the Old Testament lesson, you know, or the gospel, you know, when you're trying to figure out what's this going on. I got an email from a pastor who's been preaching on the Gospels in Mark, and then he decided to preach on a series in the summer on 1 Peter. And as soon as he started translating 1 Peter, he regretted his decision. It's a little hard. So, questions about 20, 21, and 22. Really, ask me how does this word fit in here? I mean, what's been omitted? Because it's fairly elliptical and the word order is fairly random to us. Anything at all? Rick?
Is this how other Greek writers other than the New Testament wrote?
The more classical, highly educated people. It's worse than this. Josephus is, I haven't read much Josephus. It's absolutely astonishing. I mean, you have participle constructions that go on for like 10 lines. It's you have to take a deep breath and just keep reading until it comes to a unit. It's quite remarkable. Yeah.
Does it compare to Luke at all?
What do I know? Belt should be here because he's the guy who knows way more about this than I do. Luke isn't like this. Luke is more, it's less complex. The word order seems less arbitrary to us. Yeah. The remarkable thing is that he's so free to elide things. You just leave them out. And you're just supposed to supply verbs, subjects, anything. You know, it's really. And he just is working. The entire argument. The entire argument hinges on Psalm 110, absolutely. And when we get to the argument here in chapter 9, especially I think it is, about the Christ entering through the curtain of the true tabernacle and that whole thing, that depends entirely upon a certain reading of one verse in Exodus 25. It's a very specific argument, again, to a very specific audience. Right? So that's why I've always found Hebrews hard to teach, to be honest, because you know, the categories of priesthood and sacrifice. I mean, you have to spend a lot of time just front-loading information to people. Why is this important? You know, see. If you ask Lutherans, for instance, do this sometime. Ask them, do we still need a priest? And say it like that. And they'll say, no, we have direct access to God. And you'll say, no, that's not right. Because we have a priest. And we better not try to get directly to the Father apart from Christ. Now they know that, but it's a way of being snippy. And we all know that's a good tactic. So let's do one more verse. We'll do verse 23, and then it'll be time to stop. Guess what? We're gonna compare them and us, right? Old and new, right? Verse 23. Kai hoi men. Oh, look at this. There's a hoi men. Wait, there's 24. There's a ha da, right? Well, it's kind of fun once you get the pattern down, you know. Kai hoi men pleiones eisen geganates hieres diata thanato ko luestai paramenein. Oh, well, that makes sense, right? And on the one hand, the most of them, or a pleiones is actually the superlative form of palus, much or many. Okay. It's not the superlative, it's the comparative. The more, it's the dictionary first form would be pleon. Okay. So, and the more eisen geganates have become, another periphrastic participle, priests. Why did you have to have a bunch of them? Why did you have to have more of them? Here's why. Dia ta, and now we have two infinitives. Because of the, by death, to be hindered, to remain. Okay? That's the Tonto translation. Okay? But you get it, don't you? See? Because they were hindered from remaining by death. What kind of a priest is that? He's a priest for all that. He croaks, right? He can't help you anymore. I mean, that's the argument, right? They were hindered by death or by means of death, dative of means, or maybe a causal dative because of death, from remaining, for paramenoing. But guess what? Now we have to do verse 24. Hada diata menein auton, eista iona, aparabaton eke, tain hierozinein. Right? But he, because of the him remaining into the age, has the priesthood without blemish or without parabatoing. I think that's what that means actually now. Oh, no, I have to look it up, and I did. It means without a successor. So you have my note right here, and I'd forgotten what it meant. So on the one hand, you need a bunch of them because they keep dying off and they can't help you. But he doesn't, he doesn't die off, right? He is priest according to the power of an indestructible life, as the writer said a few verses before. So on the one hand, there's a lot of them. On the other hand, he is remaining forever, and he has the priesthood as someone without a successor, right? Whence also he is able to save, etc. But that's verse 25. So, okay, that makes tolerable sense. Any questions? All right, time stop, Greek club. And again, I'll be out of town next Tuesday, but I'll try to get a successor and a substitute. And Jay is volunteering, I think. And we'll thank you very much. Greek Club.